Hi, Duchess. Today is the 8th of January, 1970. And again, Happy New Year. This tape, Duchess, you sent to me about 7 months ago, 8 months ago, and I played it just prior to starting this recording. And it was real interesting because I'd forgotten a couple of things. It was a good tape. It was one where Aileen had been down visiting on the weekend, and Hazel Hinchcliffe had visited, and they said a few words. Anyway, I enjoyed listening to the tape again. And of course, now I'm erasing it by taping over it. Let's see. What have I been doing? I'm taping to you today because tomorrow morning I go to Sock Trang. I have a program director's meeting in the morning, and then later that tomorrow evening we the girls of the Delta are going to put on a fashion show. I won't be in it, I hope. I just supervise, right? And then on Saturday morning I shall leave Sock Trang and go to Long Bend to headquarters, UCV. And let's see, on Sunday the 11th there's a party, an AG party, and I think we're supposed to do some kind of a skit or something for this party. I don't know, but I'll find out about it on Saturday. And then that's Sunday, the party. And then Monday on the 12th we're opening a new club up at Fubai. Fubai is up in First Corps. It's quite far north. The furthest I will have been when I get there. And so that will be a full day. And then on Tuesday the 13th, I have to get myself to Vin Long, because that night we're going to do the fashion show there. And so the next 5 days are going to be quite busy for me. I'll probably return to Canto on Wednesday the 14th. So I haven't been on a trip. I mean, I haven't gone anywhere for a whole week, I guess, which is just rare, Duchess. It's very, very rare that I don't go somewhere. Yeah, I left UCV on the 31st, right? So I haven't been anywhere for a whole week. And I get restless after a while, really. It's been a crazy week, crazy because I've had a lot of paperwork to do. We've got buku problems on this housing bit. You know, I'm still in temporary quarters, right? I'm only in country almost 10 months now, and I still don't have permanent quarters. Anyway, I'm trying to get myself in the cords, permanent buildings or billets, and they run like $300 a month. This is for one room, Duchess, one furnished room. And they're supposed to put me over at this PIO building in this room that isn't completed yet. The walls don't even meet the ceiling yet, and I've been over there about 4 or 5 times, and it's a big, you just can't believe the hassle involved here. See, it's real ticklish, and I think I have mentioned this before. Because I'm a civilian, they can't put me into the cords billets, permanent billets. I'm in a cords transit room right now. I've been here for, 3 months, 4 months or something. And the cords people have to put me out because they say I'm a civilian, see? I'm military. But the military say the cords people can't put me out because they have no place else to put me. And so I'm like a ping pong ball, and they just bat me back and forth. The cords people come and say, you have to move. You know, they extended and extended my time of stay here. And the last date was December 31st. I had to get out by then. Well, needless to say, I didn't move because I had no place to go. So they asked me again this week, and I said, look, I'd gladly get out of your room. You know, I'd be only too happy, but where can I go? And the military says, like, they're not finished yet with this other room, which I'm not sure it would be anything sensational. I mean, I know it isn't going to be anything special when they do finish it, because it's not a very secure area. But I don't know. We'll see what's happening. I'm trying to push this other deal, and it means 4,000 forms and USAV's approval and Corps' approval and MACV's approval and, oh God, it'll be months, Duchess, really. And I just, at this point, I'm ready to scream when somebody says to me, where are you living now, Anne, you know? So that has been a big hassle this week, and I've threatened to go to the generals. I mean, I'm just fed up with fooling around with captains and light colonels and majors and people who don't know what they're doing, really. And the funny thing about it was today, it was about 4 o'clock this afternoon, General Cantley, who is deputy commander of 4th Corps, came into our AG building. I didn't say anything to him, Duchess, because it was a formal inspection type thing, you know, and he had 3 or 4 colonels with him and all this stuff. But I was tempted, believe me, I was tempted. Besides, he didn't impress me because when he looked at me, he said, and when are we putting a new craft shop at Eakin Compound? And I said, Till I'm not in crafts, I'm service clubs. Oh, he said. Oh boy, I'm the only female down here, you know, and he doesn't even know what I do. Typical, right? I mean, not that he should, but he blew it when he said crafts. He should have said service clubs. I was amazed he didn't say USO. Everybody else thinks I'm in the USO. You know, I must get that question asked about maybe 4 or 5 times a day. Oh, you're with the USO, huh? Oh, I met another funny character today, Duchess. I met Mr. Vince or something. I don't know. I was sitting having lunch over at the Cord's compound. And I had gotten there a little late today because I have a Jeep. You know, I told you about my Jeep, right? And I let the fellas use it once in a while when they really need it. And so anyway, I got there a little late. But the point was there were some empty tables. And usually it's very crowded, you know, at the peak rush period at lunchtime. I was sitting reading Newsweek, eating my lunch. And over came this man who said, oh, may I join you for lunch? I hate to eat alone. And he sat right next to me, which was fine, you know. And he started telling me who he was. He's a doctor. He's a gynecologist. I thought it was pronounced gynecologist, but he's a gynecologist. Well, anyway, he speaks with an accent. It comes from Colombia, South America. And he just started rattling off, really. He's 3 days in Vietnam, and he was going on in great detail about the people he's operated on in the last couple of days. And the women and why the pregnant women become infected, you know, and he went into extreme details. I lost my appetite to begin with, and I just folded the book up, and I figured I couldn't read anymore, you know, I had to sit and listen to this guy. And I didn't get all of it because of his very strong accent, but I got enough of it to know what he was talking about, and he was funny. And then another doctor, Strack or Stark or something, I don't know, he came over and joined us. And then he went and repeated the whole bloody story, and he was telling them what upset this man so much was that the pregnant women are infected after the delivery of the child, you know, the death percentage evidently is very high. But the reason for this, he said, was not due to the aftermath, he said, it's because the midwives here that treat the women upon them coming into the hospital, they do an exploratory with their fingers, you see, in the vaginal area without washing their hands. And he said, if they use anything, they use this rubber glove that's been hanging for months and never been washed. And he went on and on about this, and it struck me funny because, you know, here I said, like, who in the world are you? Sat down. Oh, God, it was just, he's something else again. He went on and told his other doctor how we need to have this, that, and the other thing. We don't have the proper medicine, and, you know, he's going to do everything for the women here. Anyway, and then he told him about these cuts these girls had on their faces, you know, and, oh, I said, he's charming company for lunch. I'll tell you, it just blew the whole thing. I just stopped eating after that. But anyway, that was lunch. And driving my Jeep, Duchess, I wish I could take a movie picture of the roads and how you drive over here. It's the funniest thing in the world. Like, to go to work, it takes about, if the roads were good, you know, normal roads, let's say, with normal traffic, it would take me about 4 minutes to get to work. But it takes about 20 minutes because top speed is about 6 miles an hour. I watched the speedometer today, you know, top speed that just is about 6 miles an hour. We don't have any roads. In this one area where I work, the roads are so bad that you can only crawl at about 2 and 3 miles an hour because it's all ditches, great big holes and ruts and a little rain, you know, and you have mud all over the place. It's funny. It really is. And you're trying to steer. It's like, I always think when you go to the amusement parks, they have these scooter bumper cars, you know, and that's just the way it is. You're hardly moving, and if you go much faster, you're bound to kill somebody because there's either cattle in the roads, or sometimes we have these water buffaloes, or bicycles, and 4,000 Hondas riding around, and carts, and kids, and everybody uses the road, you know. It's a three-ring circus. It really is. An old rickety bridge that I have to go over every day. It's going to collapse one of these days. But I'm getting along famously, and I haven't hit anybody, and I haven't killed anything that I know of. And, of course, everybody just looks at me because I never see a female driving a Jeep, you know. And I just go breezing along. I can't read any road signs. It doesn't matter. Nobody pays any attention to it anyway. They don't even stay on the one side. They just drive all over the road. It's like Suicide Highway, you know. And Arvon, the local Vietnamese drivers of the military, they have a lot of deuce-and-a-half, these huge trucks, and all they do is press their hand to the horn and just go through it about 30 miles an hour, which is like that supersonic speed on one of these roads, and you just have to get out of their way. They just run right over you. They could care less. King of the road, that's what they are. Anyway, I enjoy the driving because I'm glad of the opportunity to get my hands on, and I literally hear that, just hold on to the wheel, because some of these bumps could put you right out of the Jeep. They could throw you right in the road, you know, so I just hang on to the wheel as I'm driving. It really, I just wish you could see it. You wouldn't believe it unless you saw it, you know. Oh, my golly. And I give everybody a lift. I'm very kind with my Jeep. I share it as much as I can. You know, I think this is